before you with our petitions, that your word says that you hear our prayers. And Lord, we thank you that we know in your word that it says that you are our healer. And with your stripes we are healed. And on that word, by that authority, we come against sickness and we bind it. In the name of Jesus, we pray for healing. We ask you to loose your healing power to flow into bodies. And Lord, we come against every disease, every pain, every virus, every infection. For we know you and you alone are our comfort. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. And we claim that in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord. We ask you to be with Sister Hackler as she recovers and heals, Lord. We ask you for a quick recovery. We bind this disease of COVID-19. We come against that. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to turn it around. We pray for our nation tonight, Lord. We pray, God, for mighty revival. And Lord, thy kingdom come and thy will be done is our prayer. Bless our time together tonight in your word. And we ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody out there said, amen. Amen. Let's go to the word tonight. Now, scriptures will not be coming up on the screen. It is Thanksgiving Eve, and so Brother Barrow and I trying to do this with just as few people as we can tonight to give everybody a chance, mainly Sister Barrow, who's normally here with us, give her the opportunity to be home, and I don't know what she's doing there, maybe baking pies or getting the turkey ready. I don't know what's going on in the Barrow home, but we know it's a busy week, and so the scriptures will not be coming up as normal, and if you want to have your Bibles ready and you're quick with your sword, you might be able to follow me around. If not, just listen as I read some scriptures to you. I was thinking about Job, and Job, of course, has kind of, we've kind of come to think of Job to epitomize the attribute of patience. When we mention Job, we often kind of think of his name being synonymous with that wonderful virtue of patience. And to be certain, when we speak of Job and we read the story of Job, patience is certainly there. And we can learn a lot about patience from Job. However, Job had his days. Job had his moments. To say that he was always the perfect picture of patience, I think that might be a little bit of a reach. Because, as I said, he had his moments. You read through the book of Job and you will see times where Job struggled with this whole thing of patience. There were days where he just had a bad day. And he wrote things and said things. My complaint is bitter today, he would say at times. And curse the day he was born. And maybe kind of, you know, think in terms of maybe he should never have been born. And maybe the world would have been better. We've all had those moments. We've all had those days. But there is this resounding theme, kind of intrinsically woven through the story of Job. In fact, there are four times in the book of Job that we see this word that I want to talk to you about for just a moment, this word integrity. And I think that's maybe when we speak of Job and read of Job, maybe even more than patience is this wonderful attribute of integrity. In fact, when the Lord brags on Job, in Job 2, verse 3, this is after Satan has already come against Job and has afflicted him by taking his family and all of his wealth is gone. And then the Lord says to Job in chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord says to Satan, rather, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? He's a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God, escheweth evil. And still," he says, "still, he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause," the Lord's brag at this time would be, Job holds fast his integrity. That word integrity means the quality of being honest or having strong moral principles. I want you to get a hold of that word, principles. Principles are, I don't know, I didn't look up the word principle, but I would describe principles as just kind of an a driving policy, your ethical policy, your moral policy, principles, are those things that you have decided to live by. You're principled. And so you don't have to wander from day to day or from situation to situation. You don't have to think when circumstances change how you're going to think about it or respond to it or behave in it. You're the same when somebody's looking as you are when nobody's looking. You have ethics, you have principles. God says of Job, to Satan, he holdeth fast his integrity. He's whole, in other words, he's whole, he's undivided. And then the second time we see it is in a few verses later. It's during that famous conversation between Job and his wife. Job's wife has seen him suffer, and she's seen him lose all of his family. She's lost her children too, and so has Job. And she's lost, when Job lost all of his wealth, so did she. But now she sees her husband, whom she loves so dearly, afflicted from head to toe with these hideous, painful, open sores. She sees his suffering. She sees his pain, and she says to her husband in verse 9 of chapter 2, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Are you still going to hold on to your principles?" In other words, and here's her counsel to her husband: curse God and die. Now, if you study that word curse there, it's an interesting word, the translation. It literally means, it's close to the word bless. It really means bless, only in the opposite direction. So the opposite of what the wife is telling her husband to do here, she says curse God and die. The opposite of that would be to bless God. And Job decided, yes, I will retain my integrity. I will not compromise my policy of principles. I will not let go of my high integrity here. Wife, he goes on to say, you speak as a foolish woman. I think what he decided to do was, rather than curse God and die, I'll continue to bless God and live. And then we see the word again in chapter 27, verse 5, where it says, God forbid. This is where Job is, he's defending himself to his accusers, these men who are repeatedly showing up in Job's life and accusing him. There must be some sin in your life, Job. Nobody would go through all of this if there's no sin in their life. You must have failed God. And Job's, this is one of his responses to them in verse 5, 27. When Job says, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. They're trying to get Job to confess. Go ahead and tell us what you did wrong. And Job says, I'm not going to tell you what I did wrong when I haven't done anything wrong. He said, I will not remove mine integrity from me. And the fourth time we see the word is in chapter 31. This is in verse 6. And Job says it this way: let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. In other words, Job says, I don't want to be weighed in man's balance, man's scales. Let me be weighed in God's scales, a true scale, an even balance, that God may know. It really doesn't matter what everybody else thinks about me. It doesn't matter what my accusers may say of me, as long as my God judges me. That's really what Job is saying there. I'll be judged by God, thank you very much, because God will put me in an even balance, and he will know mine integrity. So you see what I'm saying here. There's this this resounding theme. I think that Job is synonymous with integrity. And I think that part of that integrity that Job maintained and retained and absolutely refused to relinquish, part of that was his worship. Part of that was his praise. Part of that was his thanksgiving. Now you remember I used the word, and I don't know if it's the best word, but I think it's a good word, policy. When you have a policy in business, when you have a policy, this is a thought out method of dealing with situations. We have policies in our church. When it comes to somebody using the church for a wedding, we have a policy about that. When it comes to somebody using and renting or using our fellowship hall, we have policies about that. We don't have to stop and think about it and figure out, well, maybe you should do this, or maybe we have a written out policy, and we go by those policies. So when somebody says, could I do this, or what about this? We just say, well, our policy is. This is something we live by. This is something we thought out. We're not doing this on the fly. This is not situational. This is not, well, this month we don't require anybody to clean the fellowship hall if you use it. No, every month, every day, if you use the fellowship hall, one of our policies is clean up when you're done. And here's how you clean. Okay, that is true of fellowship halls. It's true of church buildings, but it's also, we need to adopt, if we don't already have them, policies in our life. Policies of this is the way. Now they might be unwritten policies, but policies nonetheless. We've decided. Let me show you some scripture to back this up. I like this policy. David had a policy in Psalm 34:1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. In other words, that's my policy. I won't decide from day to day. I'm just going to make up my mind right now. I will bless the Lord at all times. And he goes on to say, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's his policy to live by. I don't have to decide if it's a good day, a bad day, I feel like it, I don't feel like it, it's a good year, a bad year, doesn't matter. Come on, somebody out there, my car started or it doesn't start. I will bless the Lord at all times. I woke up feeling well or I woke up feeling under the weather. I will bless the Lord at all times. Everybody's treated me good today or everybody's been on my case today. I will bless the Lord at all times. The weather's great. Maybe it's not so great. I will bless the Lord at all times. My job situation is going great. Or maybe I lost my job or something in the middle there. But I will bless the Lord at all times. This is a decision that David said, I've already made up my mind. This is the way I will live my life. This is my policy. I will bless the Lord. I will never curse God. And Job had the same policy. He had to say to his wife, you speak as a woman who has no policy. You speak as a woman who's never thought this through. You speak as a foolish woman when you tell me to curse my God and die. No, I will bless the Lord and live. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love this. Speaking to yourselves. Sometimes you got to speak to yourself. Sometimes you got to sing for yourself. Sometimes you have to edify yourself. Now, I know Paul is talking about as we come together, we sing to ourselves and we sing, but sometimes you may not be able to come together. This is Wednesday night, and right now we're not gathering together. You may have to sing to yourself. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I love this. Verse 20, here's a policy to live by. Here's Paul's policy. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've just made up my mind that I will give thanks always. So really, Thanksgiving, I know it's a day on the calendar and we've set it aside as a nation, a day to count our blessings and to be thankful. And that's wonderful. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But for the Christian, we need to go farther than that. We need to have a life of thanksgiving. In fact, we should just have call it thanks living. Thanks living, not Thanksgiving, thanks living. Every day, our policy is to give thanks in all things. Giving thanks always for all things. Listen to Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, Paul says, in everything, not just good things, but things that you may consider to be bad, because we know when we look at the broad picture that we serve a God who works all things together for good. So Paul could say, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So for the Christian, really, Thanksgiving is not a day on the calendar, but rather a thankful heart is a way of life. A grateful attitude is just a way of being. For those who understand the blessings of the Lord, instead of thanksgiving, we should have thanks living. People in your life should not have to wonder which one of you are going to show up today. People that you work with shouldn't have to wonder, well, I wonder which Ron Hawkins is going to be here today. Going to be the upbeat or the down and out? Going to be the positive or the negative? Going to be the one talking about how good God is, or he going to be the one talking about how bad 2020 is? So you need to get a policy in your life to just thank God always. As David said, oh, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If his praise is continually in my mouth, I don't have room, I don't have vocabulary to complain and gripe and be negative and be sarcastic. Come on now. If his praise is continually in my mouth, I don't have room for those other things. It really is about attitude. Attitude will determine your altitude, somebody said. Attitude sets you up for the trajectory of your life. So in everything, give thanks. Listen to these words of Paul in Philippians 4, verse 10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Now listen, we talked about this not too awfully long ago, but listen to Paul's words here. What he has learned, I have learned. I've made it a matter of, in other words, I've made it a matter of study. I've made it a matter of effort. I have acquired this, that in whatsoever state I am, therewith, in that state, to be content. He said, I know both how to be abased. He says, I know how to live low. And I know how to abound. I know how to be high, up, lifted high and elevated. I'm not saying Paul was ever high. Don't anybody say I said Paul was high. But he knew how to live an elevated life. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Well, that's a fitting Thanksgiving scripture right there, isn't it? And tomorrow we're all going to be full. But he says, I've learned everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. In other words, I've learned, I've got instruction how to live when I have a lot to eat. I know how to live when I have little to eat. This is really talking about your attitude here, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, one of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to breed discontentment in the hearts of the church, in the hearts of God's people. Because discontentment yields unthankful hearts. And then unthankful hearts kill praise. Kill praise within the church. And then a lack of praise renders a lack of the presence of the Spirit, because we know that God inhabits the praises of his people. So we can look at Job, who lost everything and still fell down to the ground and worshiped and retained his integrity. So church, I'm here to tell you tonight, I know we can look around. We don't have to look around very far to find something to be negative about, to complain about, to be down about. But God is still good. If you're listening to my voice right now, that means you've made it through 2020 so far. And lots of things came against you. Lots of things were stacked against you. But here we are. So if you can't look around and find anything else to be thankful for, thank God you're hearing my voice. Thank God you're still breathing. Thank God you're still here. Thank God. We can look around. There's a lot of things to be thankful for, even in the midst of this pandemic. I'm thankful that it looks like we have a vaccine coming. Wherever you weigh in on the vaccine, doesn't really matter. I don't care to argue that with you. I'm not going to argue that with you. But I told the church here Sunday that I actually hear news media, even liberal news media, talking heads, whatever you want to call them, using the word miraculous and miracle when they talk about how fast this vaccine has made it through the development stages and then into the testing phases, and that we're literally going to be seeing doses given out here in just a matter of weeks. That is a miracle. So I'm thankful that we see some light at the end of the tunnel and that God can use people to bring us vaccines. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God has kept his hand on our church and on many. I know we've lost some good people this year. But lots of the people that we've lost in the church, we miss them. But I'm thankful that they were in the church and they've gone on to their reward. Thank God for that. We need to be thankful for the fact that we live in a nation of technology and knowledge, a nation where I said at the beginning of this pandemic, if you're going to live anywhere in the world during a worldwide pandemic, you want to live in the United States of America. We're blessed to live here. Amen. We're blessed to be part of the church. We're blessed because the Lord gave his life for us and saved us. We're blessed because if we repent of our sins, he forgives our sins. We're blessed because when we're baptized in the name of Jesus, he washes away our sins. We're blessed because he fills us with the gift of his Spirit, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. We're blessed because we can be born again. We are blessed because we were headed for a devil's hell, but the Lord intervened and saved us, heard our cry, and turned us away from going to hell. Now we're on our way to heaven. We can rejoice and we can be thankful that we know the trumpet of God is going to sound, and I believe very soon the rapture is going to take place and the church will be cut out of this earth. We can be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for today. Amen. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Aren't you thankful for all that God has done for you? So listen, this Thanksgiving, this season, the rest of the year, I challenge you, don't be negative. Don't complain. Don't get wrapped up in all the drama that's going on in the world right now. Just hold on. Maintain your integrity. If you don't already have a policy of praise, go ahead and get one tonight. Just write it out in your heart tonight. From now on, I'm not going to gripe and complain and be negative. I'm not going to get wrapped up in drama. I just decide his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight for our live stream. This Sunday now, we will only have virtual service. In other words, we'll have what we did here tonight. It will be an online service, 10 o'clock. It's the only service you're going to catch Sunday. It will be live streamed at 10 a.m. No in-person service this Sunday. We want to take a week between all the family gatherings, especially with the current surge that we're seeing in cases. And so we're going to take this Sunday and give everybody a chance to make sure that nobody develops symptoms, all those things. We feel like that's the safest way to go. And then our plan right now is to be meeting back here again a week from Sunday to get back to our normal schedule. Stay tuned for any announcements. If we have to change that, we will. But right now, that's our plan. We love you so much. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.